first meeting of ASAF. We're going to start with making a brief summary of very clear conclusions that we reached yesterday on OCI. And then Peter will take over and talk about more uncertainties in terms of such a framework. Christy.
So I thought you got rid of OCI last night, but no, I'm back again this morning. But what I just want to do is a five-minute summary of what I thought were the main messages that we brought up yesterday, and to you know, give me any more that I've missed in this summary. So what I think we heard was that there was a broad support for to retain the notion of profit and loss and to provide some sort of framework around that designation. I think there was also support and an agreement with where the board had got to in March, with that there was a lot more work needed to be done before we got to the principles. But within the group, I think there were different views about what we may end up going. I think there was some people wanted us to define profit and loss or financial performance. There was a discussion along those lines. And others also thought that maybe we should leave that definition at a more general level and provide greater level of discretion at the standards level. Say, for example, provide a high level principle such as enhancing predictive cash flows and leaving it at that, the conceptual framework. I think others actually even queried whether those descriptions were principles at all, and we can go away and look at that. I think another key point to come out of the discussion is that we should link and interact more closely with the measurement chapter, and in particular linking into the measurement choices that we make and how that feeds into presentation. And also bringing in the notion of a business model, I think, fits into that discussion as well. I think there was also some caution about the use of the term remeasurement and does that apply to things like impairment, so to keep that in mind. And I think another key point to be brought out was that, you know, not to lose sight that the use of OCI allows us to get a good measurement on the balance sheet. So I think that was another thing brought up. In terms of the concepts of bridging and mismatch items, I think there was a sense that we, even though the table was useful, not to get too caught up in how the model reflected into that table, but to look forward and see how we think the concepts will work on a forward basis. I think there was a sense that some people felt that the concepts could actually be merged and that they weren't separate. And that they were perhaps more like standard setters tools rather than individual concepts in themselves. And actually some people felt there might be other concepts out there that could be used, like noise, I think was I don't know how I put that in standards concepts terms.
Excuse me, could you say that again?
I think there was somebody felt that you could have another concept and it was described as noise, so reducing noise. But it's in effect saying that we've come up with bridging and mismatch remeasurements. There could be others that could be described. It could be in a toolbox for a standard setter to apply the concepts that we put in at the conceptual framework level. Another point that was raised was that the impact needs to be considered broader on other items. So in particular, IAS 36 was raised, FX remeasurement in certain circumstances was also raised. And the final point I brought up here was on capital maintenance, and maybe we need to distinguish in some cases that, in particular for the asset revaluations, that they could be capital maintenance, and do they need a different model or a different description. That was my overall summary. Did anybody have any other points that they feel are important that should be included?
I'd like you to think about the principle of the predictive nature of your classifications.
Predictive?
Why are you trying to classify? What is it that you're trying to convey to the reader?
Mm.
Okay.
But just the other point that,
yes,
that I'd like to just to add is also the point of consistency.
What?
Yeah, is it there or is it not there?
Well, in the sense that, you know, we seem to have just certain items that we've gone the OCI route. But as I say, I think that there are other items which have similar characteristics which we haven't gone the OCI route. And so for me, the question is why is it only those and not others? And so I think the conceptual framework should be robust enough so that there is consistency in terms of existing standards as well as for the development of new standards. And for me, it's not clear why we've got, you know, some treatment for some things in certain circumstances and for others not. So
I think that's a little bit brought up in, you know, with that table, that it gives you the view that it is inconsistent, and I think it is because there has been no framework. So
correct.
So hopefully going forward, what we do can try and achieve that consistency. Are you meaning more going backwards and trying to get consistency
yes.
for what we've already done, so backfilling?
Well, I don't know. I say for me it's going to be interesting to have a conceptual framework which we say is only going to apply going forward, and do we then just live with what we have in the past?
No, but we haven't said that.
Yes, so that's why I'm just, you know, making the point that I think consistency needs to be considered. So I'm hoping that it's not a case of, well, whatever's happened in the past is going to just stay. And agreed, at the moment there is inconsistent treatment because there was no framework. But I think what we need to be looking at is developing a basis so that we can either achieve consistency, or there need to be very good reasons why we're not being consistent there.
This goes probably more than probably beyond OCI treatment.
Yes.
Yes, that's right, exactly. So I think it's probably going to be a general comment for the framework project.
There is a comment there in that regard.
So I guess it's just to reinforce that.
Excuse me.
There is a comment?
What? In the beginning, I think I'm right, Peter, when we discuss what the framework's about and how it's used, there's a comment that going forward, if we're not consistent with the framework, we have to explain why. But there's also a comment that we could also be going back.
Equal.
Okay. One thing I asked yesterday was inclusion of the definition of comprehensive income instead of income and expenses. When we seek the definition of profit or loss, that definition may be modification of comprehensive income. I don't know the result, but the comprehensive income definition ought to be included.
Or just a little point, when you say some thought that this question should be left at the standard level, I think more than this question is that there can be different conclusions reached at standard level, but by application of guidelines that are in the conceptual framework, which is not exactly what I call this question.
You said you want to have a definition of comprehensive income. Whether at the same time you still want to have revenue expense as a separate element or as a sub-element of property loss or comprehensive income?
Comprehensive income's definition could be included as to whether we succeed the inclusion of the net profit or loss. The what I said is current definition is for gross income and gross expenses. So instead of those, comprehensive income net base definition is better. So just like equity's definition, equity is asset minus liability. But the comprehensive income is easy, you know, difference of, fluctuation of net assets minus capital transaction. So that's so simple.
Well, what's the difference between that and defining income and expense and comprehensive income is the difference? Don't you get to exactly the same point?
If we make gross base, income definition, expense definition, that makes it already causes a difficulty. So it's not exactly the same as the change in assets and liabilities. For example, netting, and the other most important thing is recycling. It doesn't allow recycling at this point because it says at the same period. So that portion is, I want that portion to be deleted. But the comprehensive definition, it doesn't have to be deleted.
That was a bit Kevin's point yesterday about we're creating mezzanine expenses and income if we put them into other comprehensive income and then recycle them. What are they when we recycle them? I think that was a good question that I hadn't thought of before. On your point, Francois, I think the intention, we should read that front part of the discussion paper again, was that sometimes, for instance, we may not follow the framework because of a practical expedient or some sort. So it could be more than just how you read the conceptual framework. It could be that we deliberately go outside it.
I understand that, Jan, but you also just reminded us that that would be in a form of complain or explain mode.
Yeah.
If you say in the framework that is discretion at the level, you will always comply and never explain.
I get it.
Can I ask a question to Kevin? Kevin, we internally struggling whether we should keep OCI as a term, you know, we used many years. And follow what you just said, you know, focus on predictability and distinguish between those predictable or not. And yesterday you also mentioned about multi-column, you know, presentation models. Then if follow that logic, I will feel, you know, there may be more items be in the categories outside of what we currently call OCI. And whether you want to change the term, label differently?
At the conceptual level, I don't think I care.
Okay.
And I did say yesterday, pragmatically at the standard setting level, I think you're stuck with OCI. But you can condition what you put in OCI and how you describe the things in OCI so that people can understand the relative predictiveness of the items there. But you need to go further. You need to be able to do that in the P&L as well. So rather than forcing less predictive ones into this binary classification, I would try across comprehensive income to get that notion clear in whatever you display in by presentation or disclosure. I just think a binary classification, you know, this is the extraordinary items, unusual items debate again on a different basis, and it's just not going to work. It has a little bit of power, but not much.
And then my next question, basically you will favour recycle or not for your logic?
I see no need to recycle. I think if you really believe that your OCI and your P&L are both made up of economic events, I don't see the need to recycle them again. And if you do, I don't know, understand how you can stick to your definition of revenue and expense. So, you know, I really do need to sit with my Japanese friends and understand why they come to what they do, but it intuitively just doesn't grab me. I don't know why I want to recycle.
It's your American friends, too.
Well, Leslie, can you explain to Gavin why you want to recycle?
We love our P&L. We love our net income. So there's just a belief that everything eventually should be recognized in net income.
I think that's a behavioral thing that we see in the IASB's deliberations, because some of you think that the P&L is where the real number is and the other is not so real. But if you're going to tone it up so that they're equally important and you put as much emphasis on it, I don't see why you need to pick one versus the other. But that's a huge change in behavioural aspects.
Well, I mean, we wouldn't have this whole discussion about OCI if everybody felt that the numbers in OCI were just as meaningful as in the P&L. Well, yeah.
I think they are. I think in our current...
Yeah, but then we should not... why do we... So you would be in favour of just abolishing OCI, basically?
Yeah, and doing a predictive risk.
Well, you could go that way, but I do think that you are stuck with it to some degree out of past practice. It doesn't mean that the items there are meaningless. I think they're all there for a very good reason, and the point.
Well, that was the point I tried to make yesterday, not with much success. I think there are elements in OCI that definitely have a lot of meaning, even though they are much further removed from cash and predictable income than others, such as the insurance liabilities, such as pensions. I mean, very meaningful information. And if a company has problems there, he really has problems. On credit, I don't find, although you can get some economic information out of that, it does distort a P&L.
To the extent you've captured it.
Huh?
To the extent you have captured it.
Yes.
It's in every fair value.
Yeah. And obviously, cash flow hedge by itself also is meaningless information. You don't see it together with its counterpart.
You've taken a derivative and you've made a gain or a loss. That's meaningful in its own right. The fact that you want to then match that with another event, that's fine if you believe in that. I personally wouldn't do it, but it doesn't mean the first leg is meaningless.
It's not meaningless, but...
Okay. I'm actually going to give you the wrong information if you look at the derivative alone.
Yeah.
Wrong. Because
it doesn't give the full economic picture.
Yeah, but one firm that's engaging the derivative actually has less risk than the other one that's not having the derivative. You appear to be more risky.
Yeah.
The other one that's not hedging the exposure.
It has the same risk. But
that happens whether you recycle or not.
Yes. Well, I mean, I strongly disagree with that.
Did have accounting.
it is to redress an accounting mismatch, which gives wrong information. You don't... If you're hedging the fair value of deposits, foreign currency deposits, if you only look at the cash flow at the hedge, it gives them incomplete information.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so I do think that some elements of OCI are more meaningful than others, and the more meaningful, well, some would say, you know, I think a good... We've had a very serious discussion on the insurance liability. Should it go in net income or not? Absolutely no clear-cut case that it should be OCI. Mm. And I'm really curious what the final outcome of our exposure draft is going to be. And I think also a very good point can be made about that it really should go through income. Not a clear-cut case, but there you do have a lot of very valuable information, at least.
But is this changing the discount rate on insurance liabilities or are there other...
Yeah.
Discount rate?
Yeah.
Purely the discount rate?
Yeah.
Is there, the cash flows haven't changed at all, in theory. Mm. So I'm not quite sure. So I almost regard that as noise. Because the cash flows are what is important and what should go through the income statements, and the cash flows haven't changed.
Yeah, if you're willing to wait for 20 years and to take the risk that the insurance company will go broke in the meantime, then it's noise. But I think it is very, very meaningful. I mean, a lot of insurance companies are currently... I'm going to speak about that tonight. There are a lot of insurance companies that use historic interest rates don't show at all what kind of terrible trouble they are in.
Yeah, but that's because they're given the guarantee. Just discounting, just say if you're a general insurer, just discounting future liabilities, that doesn't change the cash flows. if you give a guarantee on your life insurance set of policies, that's a guarantee. That's a different.
Well, yeah, but even if you're not, you always give a guarantee because that's what insurance is about. But even if you don't give an income guarantee, you still have a lot of time value of money is extremely important. And if you calculate the time value of money by using interest rates from the time of Margaret Thatcher, I don't think.
I agree with that.
Francis. Also.
I wanted to give support to Kevin's comments that, and it's not limited to OCI, I think it's the conceptual framework, what we discuss here and there more generally, that should explain why a particular choice mean a particular set of information. And that is not limited to providing predictive information. It is also about stewardship. So it's not every time you have a gain in predictive value that you have necessarily the right direction ahead.
I don't think that was what Kevin said. What?
I mean, I supported
Kevin,
first part.
The way I understand Kevin, he would really, you know, instead of profit and loss, he would want to look at comprehensive income.
Yeah.
Right?
I think stewardship is also part of looking at the future. You want to know how well assets have been held for a reason, for the future. So I personally think stewardship is a sub-element of economic decision-making. I don't want to fight that fight. It's been fought for years. I don't think it's going to change the world. But I think you're misunderstanding my view.
Okay. Those were your 5 minutes, Christy.
Yeah, 5 minutes. It's a different thing.